This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. After a week of Supreme Court victories for the Obama administration, a setback was handed down Monday when the High Court ruled against the federal EPA in its efforts to regulate emissions of mercury and other toxic pollutants from coal-fired power plants. The ruling said the agency failed to take into account the cost of imposing the regulations. And joining us now on the line to discuss the decision is Vermont Law School Professor Pat Parento. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Now, on the face of it, this decision wouldn't appear to necessarily affect Vermont because there are no coal-fired power plants in the state. But could Vermont's environment be affected by this decision, and if so, how?
Yes, it could. Mercury is a global pollution, so the sources of mercury, wherever they are, blow basically all around the world. And because New England is downwind of a lot of coal-fired power plants in our region, we receive a lot of mercury emissions. In fact, there are mercury health advisories for virtually every fish species in Vermont because of these emissions.
Now, the original Clean Air Act that was established in the early 1970s required EPA regulations to be, quote, appropriate and necessary to protect the environment. Was the court's ruling negating the original act's mandate?
Well, this appropriate and necessary language does apply specifically to coal-fired power plants. The key question was, what does the word appropriate mean? Justice Scalia, writing for the majority, and we know that Justice Scalia is what's known as a textualist in his approach to statutory interpretation, said that word is broad enough that it should, and indeed must, include the consideration of costs before you take even the first step towards regulating these emissions.
Has there been any previous case where the Supreme Court has said, even though the law contains no instruction to consider costs, that the EPA is required to consider costs?
Well, the leading case is the Whitman case involving other types of pollutants like ozone and soot and other kinds of health effect pollutants. And that was a unanimous decision of the Supreme Court, where the court held that when Congress does not specifically mandate the consideration of costs when you set a public health standard, the court should interpret that standard as not requiring consideration of costs. So this decision involving the mercury emissions is a break from that previous approach that the Supreme Court has taken.
Do you think this decision is going to have a sort of domino effect on the regulatory authority overall of the EPA?
Well, Justice Scalia's opinion did leave the door open for how EPA should consider costs when the rule is sent back to them for reconsideration. So it's possible that EPA will once again, after it has duly considered the costs and made a better record, at least a record that would satisfy Justice Scalia, that it will be able to reinstate the rule pretty much as it is. EPA did do a very formal cost-benefit analysis of this rule. EPA concluded that, in fact, the total benefits would outweigh the cost by 9 times. It would avoid 11,000 premature deaths. It would avoid exposing 7% of pregnant women to the effects of mercury emissions. So this is a very technical ruling by the court that EPA didn't make a proper record in adopting this rule, and the hope is that EPA, when it gets the rule back, will make that record, reinstate the rule, and protect American health.
Well, that's a really important distinction that you just made, because the court is asking the agency to rewrite these emission standards. But if I'm taking you correctly on this, EPA seems a little bit hemmed in as far as rewriting those standards. I mean, what can they do to maintain the level they wanted to maintain, but at the same time deal with the court's concerns over cost?
Well, Scalia did say it's up to EPA to decide how to consider the costs and to make an ultimate judgment on whether the benefits justify the costs. It is true that we probably won't know until a further judicial review of the rule that EPA adopts once it's taken this rule back and reconsidered it. But I can say that Scalia hasn't written an opinion that would preclude EPA from reinstating this rule. They're going to have to do a better job of justifying it, but in the end, they might be able to reinstate it just the way it is. It was a 5-4 decision. The dissent was written by Justice Kagan. Justice Kagan's dissent, in my view, is the better view of the law of why EPA took an appropriate approach, which to say, is it appropriate to regulate these emissions as a first step? And then, as she put it, at a later stage when it comes to actually setting technology standards for each plant, she said, that's when you should really look at cost.
What I am wondering here, though, about that 5-4 decision is if the rewrite, if you will, could be aimed more at Justice Kennedy, because I'm imagining he was the swing vote on this.
You're exactly right. It always comes down, it seems, to Justice Kennedy. And at oral argument, he was concerned that EPA took the position that costs were completely irrelevant. That was actually the argument EPA made. In my judgment, it was a mistake. EPA would have been better off saying, we have a better way of addressing cost, Your Honor, at a different point in the process. So, unfortunately, I think EPA lost Justice Kennedy's vote at oral argument.
And finally, Pat Parento, the regulations were slated to go into effect this year. What might the new time frame look like now?
Oh, that's a very good question. So this case now goes back to the D.C. Circuit Court, and it's not actually clear what the D.C. Circuit will do. It might simply remand the rule to EPA without vacating it. In other words, letting the rule stay on the books while EPA performs this cost analysis. There is a precedent for that, where removing a rule from the book exposes the public to significant health threats. So EPA will be arguing, I predict, to the D.C. Circuit, do not take this rule off the books. And interestingly enough, Mitch, a number of utility companies who have already started to invest in mercury controls will support EPA in that. They did that before the Supreme Court, and my guess is they'll do that when it's remanded to the D.C. Circuit as well.
Vermont Law School Professor Pat Parento, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome, Mitch.